This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
We have, as you may very well have noticed when you walked outside today, a conspicuous change in the weather. And joining us to explain what is happening, what is going to happen, and to forecast the next 5,000 years of human meteorological history, meteorologist Andy Parker. Andy, Sage of Weather, thank you so much for being with us. Appreciate it.
Hey, Tom, no problem. I'm mobile today along Cazenovia Creek right now, kind of taking a look at where the ice jam is in preparation for the combination of the snowmelt and then the rain that we're going to get tonight, because too much of a good thing turns into kind of a bad thing for anybody that lives near the creeks.
Yeah, and that, as far as the creeks, I want to dive into that in just a moment, but for the entire region, the macro system, what are you looking at in terms of weather as far as temperature, precipitation, et cetera?
Yeah, today we're well into the 50s. Looking at the thermometer right now, let's see if it'll pull up for me here. 54, where I'm at in West Seneca. And it looks like we're going to stay in the 50s today. And then tonight it doesn't drop off much at all. And tomorrow we're back in the 50s. The first back-to-back pair of 50s that we get in 2025. And then it all comes to an end on Thursday. But for these 2 days, we're going to keep an eye on that thermometer. That's number one. It's going to melt a lot of the snow that's already out there. And then tonight we're going to throw rain on top of everything. So the warmth. And then the rain that we get tonight could total up to a half an inch in spots, and that's going to be enough to really saturate the ground and set the stage for a lot of water trying to make its way out of your yards and into the creeks.
Now, for how long do you see this warming trend hanging around?
Yeah, this is going to be about a 48-hour swing spring, and that includes today. We got a little bonus with the cracks in the clouds today that allowed the temperatures to pump up. And there's two things driving this. We're out in front of a large storm system. So the fact that the weather system that is doing this to the United States, the northern tier, took a westerly track, we're on the warm side of things. And so this bubble of warmth is riding in on these southerly winds. And then we get a little sunshine in there. And the March sun is very similar to October sun. It's a much more powerful angle. You'll notice it. It's more productive, melting things because of that. So that's what's warming us up today. Tomorrow we're going to be right in the warm sector, but it's very wet. This storm system has pulled in a lot of moisture, and everything for us on Wednesday is going to be in the form of rain. And it really begins around midnight tonight. And umbrellas are what you're going to want tomorrow. It doesn't look like the temperatures come crashing back to reality until we get to Thursday morning, and then we'll drop into the 30s and then eventually the 20s. So Thursday returns to more of a wintry day. But March is going to be a lot of these ups and downs. It's always a tug of war between the two seasons, and right now spring is tugging pretty well at the weather over old man winter right now.
So then after this warming spree, we can expect to see a cooling situation, which is going to do what? Turn the melted water and the rain back into that ice rink?
You got it. Yeah, it's going to freeze everything up. We're going to lock up. It will be in the 30s on Friday. It's going to be kind of a wintry feel to the weekend with some snow showers. As a matter of fact, on Thursday, we might get another inch of snow. as this system exits. So it might melt off some of the snow piles, reduce them, and then put a little bit more back on its way out. We'll spend about 4 or 5 days in the 30s, and then we'll get another surge of warmth that looks like mid to late next week. And everybody's starting to look at the calendar there, and there's a parade that happens that weekend. So everybody's thinking about St. Patrick's Day, hoping that something like today times out the following weekend. Right now, it's still open to possibility because these surges of warmth, you want to see them, you know, come. You want to space them out. And right now, it looks like the St. Patrick's Day weekend might be perfectly spaced in between these surges of warmth to be in the 50s as opposed to 30s and a cold rain.
We on News Radio 930 WBEN are talking with Andy Parker, awesome meteorologist, and WBEN Arthur Pressman, traffic attorney. News time is 2:16. Now, we have the big picture as far as what the weather is going to do overall, and I know that we have a lot of people in neighborhoods by creeks which are prone to flooding. And you are out in the field studying that firsthand. What do you have for us? Help those people.
Yeah, it looks like this time around, we had a thaw not too long ago, within the last week. It was enough to really break up the creeks. When you think about the midwinter, you'd look out, and if you drove the 90, you would cross over a couple of these, Buffalo and Kaz, and the folks in Lancaster looking at Cayuga. It was a sheet of ice. A completely level, you could almost walk across it. It was that thick. And that first thaw that we had with a little bit of rain was enough to kind of break it up. So it broke it up into these huge, giant triangles and jagged edge things that are, it was more than a foot thick in thickness. And then these things were huge, big as a car. And they were jostled and positioned and then moved down the creek a little bit. But they didn't flush all the way out into Lake Erie. So these big chunks of ice have now moved into South Buffalo and West Seneca. On Kaz Creek, it's right where the park begins, Cazenovia Park. And you can see it's running clear in front of me where I'm at right now on Harlem Road at the bridge. And then about a half, quarter mile up, you start to run into the dirtiest ice you've ever seen. It is just, it's black with specks of white. And it covers the entirety of the creek. And so that's where Cazenovia is. Now you go over to Buffalo and it's about the same thing. As Cayuga and Buffalo Creek come together and then they form the Buffalo River and it begins to kind of meander there. That's where that particular ice jam is. So the ice got lifted, pushed, and then left there. The Stevenson Street Bridge on Cazenovia is another one. It always looks otherworldly when you look out at all of this sea of ice that's just sitting there. Now, what's going to happen right now, the creek levels are very low. I just looked at the gauges, and there, where the gauges are, it's running free. It's only a couple feet of water depth. You have to get to around 8 and 10 feet on these two particular creeks before they reach what's called maybe action or the low-level flood stage. So you've got a lot of room to go. But the snow melt has literally just started today. And so it takes about 6 hours. So if you get a raindrop in your yard, these creeks, it takes about 6 hours for all those raindrops to go into the smaller creeks and work their way in, and that's kind of the lag time. So we won't really realize a huge jump on these creeks until the rain hits tonight. And so that puts us into Wednesday morning. That's when you'll notice that the levels on the creek will begin to rise. Now, what happens is you've had this ice flush one time already, and now it's broken apart. It kind of locked up in the last few days as it got cold, and now we're going to see all this water come rushing into the creek, and it's going to want to push that clog down the creek, and there's going to be a bit of a battle. And the question here is, did the early breakup last week and it repositioned all the ice, is it going to be enough where it just now you add water to it and it lifts it and moves it down the creek and it just flushes it without a problem? Or has all of that ice now kind of locked into more of a wall and the water will build up behind that wall and then and flood the areas directly behind the ice jam, which would be over by Ridge Road, into West Seneca, the usual suspects over there as well. So the spot that I'm looking at, it would have to go up about 10 feet, which does happen. And then eventually the ice gives. But this is an unusual year because we've already had the first crack up of the ice, and now these huge chunks have kind of just settled, and you're going to get all this water. And the hope is it lifts it and it moves it. But if it acts like a wall, this could be a really bad situation come Wednesday evening.
Meteorologist Andy Parker is with us on the Trocare College WBEN Liveline, and WBEN Arthur Pressman traffic attorney time is coming up on 2:21. I know that there are a lot of moving parts here. You've got the precipitation, you've got the melting, you've got the ice, which is preformed. As you look at the probabilities, do you have enough data to make an educated guess as to the most likely outcome?
Well, what you try to do is look back and say, well, which year did we have kind of a similar situation? And nothing that I've looked at maybe in the last decade really comes to mind that we've had the cold winter where we had the ice thickness to the degree that we have now in these chunks. Probably you'd have to go back to like February 2015, where we had an exceptionally cold cold situation. And then I don't recall, we didn't look and we couldn't tell if there was the similar situation where you had a breaking of the ice, a resettling, and then a huge warm-up with rain. So we haven't been able to kind of find an exact comparison. So that's why the big question is there is how is this going to be handled by the creeks? And will it be kind of a no-brainer where it just flushes it out like a clog, and it just sends it all the way down? You watch it roll right into the Erie Basin Marina as one big chunk? Or is this going to be something where the water level rises extremely fast and we have the evacuations in parts of West Seneca that we've seen before by off of Buffalo Creek?
I'm going to ask you a really stupid question, but they used to do this to get freighters free of Lake Erie jams. What if they just blew up the areas with dynamite where the ice has congregated?
Now, you see, you're going back old school where I believe it's part of the Department of Public Works in Buffalo. They would take the dynamite and they would blow the holes into the ice and fracture and what they've come up with. And it's Don Polito. I don't know if he gets full credit for it, but I know it's his crew that would go out there. And what they would do is get chainsaws, and they would cut these giant triangles. And so multiple triangles in this ice. And I believe they already did that, and the Cotter was already running the navigable waters of Buffalo River to try to, you know, break up as much ice as they can there so it'll continue on. But they would cut these large triangles out. And so what would happen is you would allow imagine you have this ice that's just locked in place that's a foot and a half, 2 feet thick. And so when you cut a hole through this and the water then starts to rise, the water then can pop through these triangles. And it works as almost like a vent. So the pressure doesn't try to lift the entire ice sheet and back up, but it gives the water the opportunity to go from underneath the ice to on top of the ice to continue the flow. And that seems to have worked in 8 out of 10 times that helps reduce the threat of ice jam flooding. It doesn't eliminate it, but it lessens it. And I believe they've already done that. The state that the ice is in now, I'm going to post some pictures on my social. It's impossible to you can't even walk on it. It is so jagged. It is, if you've seen the pictures of the moon and Mars, I mean, this looks otherworldly how this ice is. It's beyond any relief. Dynamiting isn't going to do it. It's just tens of feet thick, maybe 15 feet thick in spots of just this, the darkest, ugliest ice in chunks just molded together that you'd ever imagine. So whatever's going to happen is going to happen now. There's human interaction at this point is not going to do anything. It's going to be how does Mother Nature handle this? I think it's going to go one of two ways here. And one, it's amazing that one could be there's no problem, that this is enough to break those up and lift and move, or this thing jams up and we see a very fast water rise upstream.
Mm. Well, this does seem to be an almost perennial, if not perennial, situation. People have to deal with it constantly who live in the danger zones, if you will. Andy, how can people find you on social? How can people have a meteorologist in their own pockets?
Yeah, if you want to see some of the images I'm trying to, you know, describe verbally, we're going to put them on social. So any social media that you're on, if you're find yourself cruising on X or Facebook, LinkedIn, you name it, just type in Andy Parker TV, Andy Parker Weather, and it'll pop up with all that information. If you want extra information, you can always just text 503-ANDY. That's 503-2639. And just type the word weather, and you'll get some information back. Or if you have questions, you can type them in there and get answers as well, Tom.
Well, Andy, anything I did not ask you that you wish I had?
I think we're good. We got all the way to the middle of March. Let's see what happens.
I just thought of one more question. People who enjoy ice fishing, what does this warm-up do for them?
I saw a lot of folks actually on the, where were they? On the canal along the 190 yesterday. So that ice is exceptionally thick. This warm-up is not enough to affect the near-shore ice. The rain that we get is going to be more problematic, I think, just uncomfortable. But I think they'll still be able to get some ice fishing in because the degree of melting isn't going to be enough to reduce the thickness of the ice to where you can't walk on it. You need 4 inches if you're a brave fisherman. Once you hit 4 inches, you go out there and you're good to go. And with that ice as thick as it is, even this warm-up isn't going to be enough to reduce that.
Andy Parker, you're a great American. Thank you very much for joining us on the program. Always appreciated.
My pleasure.
Meteorologist Andy Parker on the Troquier College WBEN Live Line.